Welcome to Serenity, a service for your well-being. I'm Peggy Nichols, and along with my spirit guide, Anthony, we're going to be your host for the next hour. I'd like to have our listeners go to our two websites that my husband and I have. One is called DaVinciChannelledArt.com and also SerenityPeggyNichols.com. You'll love going to the Da Vinci Channeled Art. It's amazing work. The story behind it is there. So please visit it. And then at my website, you'll be able to go in and see my CDs and also the different services which I offer. And since energy doesn't have any barriers, we can do things remotely without any hesitation. I have two guests this evening, but I'm going to start out with a young lady I had the pleasure of meeting just a couple years ago at Serenity. This young woman is quite busy. She is a performing artist and also has an album out called Lullaby. She's a motivational teacher working on her PhD, but she just had a wonderful book published by Two Moon Press called Grin and Bear It. So may I please welcome Colleen Clement. Good evening, Colleen. How are you?
I'm great, Peggy. How are you doing?
I'm doing well.
And thanks so much for having me.
Oh, it's my pleasure. It was so much fun having you at Serenity a few months ago doing your book signing with us.
That was so great. And may I say, I just so appreciate you calling me young lady. You've just made my day.
Oh, well, you're so welcome. Listen, my great grandmother lived to be 107, so anything under that is young. So
excellent.
But it's so nice to have you with us on the air, and since you're up in Canada as we speak.
Yes, I'm over on Vancouver Island, which is gorgeous, right off the coast of Vancouver and Seattle. So I'm actually looking at Washington, actually, across the bay. It's gorgeous scenery. I'm very fortunate. I'm very fortunate that this little adventure came my way.
Well, it's beautiful here in Michigan, and so we're going to enjoy this before the snow starts to fly, which will be sooner than what I really want. But I just love the title of your book, Grin and Bear It. I would love for you to just tell people a little bit about the book and what inspired you to actually put this in print.
Okay, well, it's really interesting because I started telling stories to some of my friends about the things that people would say to me, and they would just laugh and say, "Oh my gosh, are you kidding me? You've got to write this down." And so, as the years went on, I finally thought, you know, maybe I really should, and maybe if I write it in a funny way, I might be able to get people to read a message in a way that would have their defenses down. My book is called Grin and Bear It, like B-A-R-E, where you're just bearing it, your soul, instead of sitting there and grinning and bearing it and taking it and gritting your teeth and clenching your fists like I have. But the full expanded title is Grin and Bear It, Rants of a Single Non-Lesbian Woman Over 40. And clearly the title has some sarcasm in it. And what I've done is put together a little book of, they're all real rants of things that people have said to me. And it's about the ridiculousness of the labeling that still goes on today and how many people are actually excluded from what I would call our society's love celebration. The people that aren't married or don't have children. There's so many things that get said to you when you're over 40 in a really nonchalant way. And I often think, why would you say that to someone? You know, and so but it's acceptable when you say certain things to a single person that you could would never be acceptable to say something similar to a married or a married person or someone with children, or someone with children. And so I thought, well, you know, I'm at this age now, 47. It took me, it's rants over 40, but I started writing this several years ago. But now I'm at this age where it's rants, but it's funny. It's not anger-filled. But matter of fact, the first chapter is about how ridiculous it is for people to automatically assume I'm a lesbian because I'm single and over 40, when all of my really dear, wonderful lesbian friends are actually in couples. And it doesn't even make sense. So I kind of rant about the fact that when did lesbians become the default setting for someone that apparently you're viewing as lonely and desperate? And but I do it in a really funny way to get people laughing a little, like I said, have their guard down. But then all of a sudden, right after you're laughing, there's kind of like a little kick that comes in, a little point of seriousness. And again, my book isn't written to cut anyone down, to say anything is being done maliciously, but just to say after all of these years, I've kind of figured out that maybe people just aren't aware. They just don't know that the number of things that get assumed about someone and why they're single and how many things are done to be maybe even said to you to be a compliment that actually come out kind of insulting and always assuming that there must be something wrong with you if you're single when you're over 40. And so I decided to put it down in something that was kind of fun. And like I said, not trying to convert anyone, but to just throw it out there that, yes, I am indeed single and heterosexual and over 40, and I'm a loving, lovable person, and it doesn't mean that there is something wrong. And so I wrote the book, yes, for solidarity for any people who are single and over 40, but also it's not just for single people. It's really for those that don't realize how far inside a box they are and how far outside the box many people are in our society.
Yes, and what I like to, and going over a little bit of your bio, you talk about, you know, dignity for the soul. And, you know, that's really very profound. And I think sometimes we veer from that, you know, our soul is such an amazing thing. But we do have to live our life with dignity.
Yes. And dignity for, and that's what I, you know, some people will say, oh, it's just another feminist book. And it's not at all. It's actually about the dignity raising for all people. Like, I feel like, you know, the book is love for all and all for love. And that's, I'm just trying to raise the awareness of how things get said to somebody, for example, the assumption of why you're not married or why you might not have children. After you're, you know, before you're 40, you don't notice it as much. You're kind of in the game where you might be having children or whatever. But as you get older, over 40, I don't know if it's people are just uncomfortable and it's just easier or what, but it switches over to this automatic, oh, so you chose not to get married and you chose not to have children. And when you just say that to someone, especially a woman in her 40s who is probably approaching the time when biologically there might be another reason why they might not be having a child, but to just kind of throw that out, oh, so you chose not to, when you really know nothing about a person's background, the attack on the dignity of the person, if you don't know why they don't have a child and it had nothing to do with choosing, perhaps it could be that a child died. You know, it could be that they weren't biologically able. I mean, there are so many reasons why someone might not, and people will say, well, nobody ever would really say that to a person. And the whole point of this book is that people say it all the time. And individually, these little things might not seem like much, but when you hear them every day, they're no longer little details. And so what I'm just trying to say, I know people aren't doing it to be mean, let's say, but a lot of our customs, they just do not validate the lovability of a person who isn't in a couple or doesn't have children. And that I've seen it so many times in my friends who might be having a really great day, and someone they'll meet on the street says, "Hey, how you doing? Oh, so is there a man in your life yet?" And immediately, you know, what bearing does that have on me? What bearing does that have on the asker at all? Right. The person that they ask, I've watched body postures just change to this defensive stance, and they kind of start joking, and then someone say, "Oh, so you chose not to have kids?" And what do you say? What if it was, you know, if there's some real traumatic reason why you don't have a child, yet you're not going to bring that up to a person on a sidewalk? But it's amazing how much that is part of our acceptable small talk when talking with someone that's single. So my idea is to just raise the dignity level up for all souls, and finally get it out there and admit that because someone is in a couple and because someone has a child does not make them automatically more loving or more lovable than anyone who doesn't. And I think that, I just think that my book, even though it's short, to the point, it hits on some points that other storylines similar don't dare to go. And that's really saying, okay, let's really put it out there. Let's talk about the dignity of all people and religion and ceremonies and holidays and greeting card companies. You know, they could actually involve more love, and actually, you know, if the companies want to market more cards, it would be great to have celebrations that celebrate the whole person as who they are, and not in relationship to, you know, a relationship status or whether or not they have a child directly in their life. So I just think that it's a really critical time in our society. We're approaching so many things that appear chaotic, and I think that things are being shaken apart so that we can shake off all of that that really isn't all that solidly true, and just take the truth and build and evolve to a stronger platform. And I think it's time. I think it's time we start acknowledging what love really is and how often we exclude people by telling them who they can marry, who can get married, who can't get married. And then there's another funny thing. The number of people that we exclude from allowed to be being married, then we turn around and only celebrate those that are married as yes. far as lovability. That's kind of, and again, nobody meant it probably to be that way, but it really is what it is. And it isn't just a single person being bitter or whatever. It's more than that. And I feel like there is a reason why, for some reason, I'm able to have a voice. And I feel like I can now speak for those who society hasn't really accepted, validated their responses, just kind of pushed it off as, oh, well, you know, they're probably just bitter or jealous or this or that, and one day it will happen to you. And I just think we need to evolve from that. I think our souls are at a crucial point of no return. And this is one way I think that we could do it.
Exactly. Well, too, we talked earlier, you know, about the struggles at balancing with the male and female energies that we all have.
Yeah.
And and I was really impressed when you were talking about how, and again, in that balancing, but also how society, I'll let you go into that in more detail, how we reward, you know, the males versus the women. And when you talked about the men, when they get bigger contracts with a bigger bank account or the bigger car, you know, it's almost like they're applauded. But now for the female, is how skinny can you get? You know, the thinner, the Botox, and, then you're noticed, you know, and how shallow have we become?
Right. I feel I've done, I had a wonderful voice teacher and voice coach, and I've done my own share of vocal coaching. And one of the things that really came up I sought a voice teacher when I was in Chicago because I'm a singer, and I was just having this weird vocal issue, and I thought I'll just finally go get some help with it. And she pointed out a few things to me, and one of them, and I've read too this, that women are notoriously known for being shallow breathers, and anyone who's felt an oppression of any sort will feel will actually breathe a lot more shallow than they're aware. And so one of the main things that I was working on with people is the idea of just breathing and taking in a deep breath. And there were times that for many women, it was a really difficult exercise. It brought up a lot of emotions because the thought of that they are allowed to take a breath, they're allowed to take up space, and how much of our society rewards, some people think when they read a book, when they read my book, that it's going to be man-bashing. I'm not man-bashing at all. I firmly believe that when you do a disservice to, like, let's say one side of an equation, you know, as a math, you'll do an equal disservice to the other side of the equation. And if we are training our boys that the bigger they get, the bigger and stronger, the bigger their reward, then we're kind of training, we kind of turn that around to the bigger their accomplishments, the more they're rewarded. But for girls, we reward them for getting skinnier, for being smaller, for taking up less space. And that can actually have an effect on, as it bleeds over to the rest of your life, well, I need to take up less space. I need to be less of who I am. And the reason I tend to speak more with girls groups and women's groups is because I grew up as a woman, as a female, and these were the experiences that I ran into, that there are a lot of unwritten consequences from growing up when you're, and even all the traditions teach, you know, be the best that you can be and let your light shine, but yet if you did that and you went farther than what the society was viewing a woman should be, then the consequences weren't written, but they were these unwritten ones. Maybe you wouldn't get asked out because the guy's supposed to be smarter. Or what if you're intimidating people if you really perform really well and you got to be a little bit lesser so that, you know, other people, you know, the guys won't feel intimidated. And so much of being a teenager is about whether or not you're being asked out. And so there was all those pressures. Which as you get older, the flip side is if you're putting all of that, the disservice that comes into men is that you've shown them, you're training them to look at women in a really smaller way. And you also put the onus of all of big accomplishments and earning all the money and being a CEO by the time you're 30, you put that on a guy. Well, that's not doing him any favors either. It's associating everything to do with his worth is how much money he makes or what his title is. So, you know, it's, and what his conquests are. And so we're kind of, you end up limiting the heart space for all sides. So that's where I'm not bashing anyone, man bashing. It's the opposite. I'm trying to raise the dignity level of both the male and female energy and get them up to where they're balanced. And so that it isn't just this, it's, I'm not out of whack, and that everybody is allowed to be, really allowed to be the best they can be and allowed to shine. And I know it sounds idealistic, but yet that's just where my passion is to help people let that finally shine and let themselves be worthy just as who they are. and not based on what someone else says they should or should not be because they intimidate someone else, for example. So yeah, it's a really big, that's a really big issue for me, the balancing. It's not easy, but then again, not like the journey on Earth here is all that easy all the time anyways, but.
Well, and so we just want to make clear to our listeners that this is an amazing book, and it is for both male and females. And plus, now, Colleen, let's let our listeners know how they can obtain your book. Is there a website they can go to?
Right now, there's not a website for the book, but you can always go to, it's available on Amazon.com. It's available on Two Moon Press, the Two Moon Press publishing site, but also... It's on any of the Ingram distribution lists, so you can order them from Barnes & Noble. It'll be on the ebook formats, and so it's just coming out, and it's just getting through all those processes to get on all the lists. But hopefully soon there will be a website, but it's not up and running just yet. So I'm hoping that if people needed to contact, they could contact your website or the Two Moon Press, which is the publisher. And then, like I said, of course, you can buy it at Amazon.com or through the Barnes & Noble, or ordering it through Barnes & Noble. It's not on the bookshelves just yet there.
Okay. Well, before I let you go, now, are we going to be able to see another book in the near future by you? Are you working
on it? Well, it's so interesting because... Actually, I've actually had some really positive feedback that's really been, humbling and wonderful. And because I was afraid to put this book out, I'll definitely put that out there. Then I finally said, I have to. My soul says I have to. But I've been asked if perhaps I'd come up with a workbook for it and start doing some workshops throughout the country on it. And I have to admit, I'm very intrigued by that, and that's where I'm thinking about right now, because I definitely, each chapter in this book could totally be expanded, but I really edited it down to make this book is short for a reason, and it's to really get people, it's quick, it makes you laugh, and then you put it down, and then all of a sudden a week later you're like, I guess there was a little more to that book than I was thinking. I never realized, I never thought of it that way, and that's the whole point of this book, and it's definitely for men and women. I thought of several of my single male friends while I was writing it too. The voice, it's written like a monologue, so it's in my voice. It's like a rant. I talk about bathroom architecture and world peace. I bring it. It's a true rant, like you're having a coffee with your friend and. You start off on a topic, and then you kind of rant through a few, and then you end circle back around. So it's definitely funny, and it's written in conversational language. It's certainly not lofty. It's quite the opposite. But I'm very excited about it, and I so appreciate that you talking with me about it today. Appreciate it more than you know. So thank you so much.
Knowing you in person and seeing your accomplishments, Colleen, please go and pick up the book, Grin and Bear It. Colleen, I thank you so much. We're going to take a short break here so we can bring on our next guest, Mr. Bowers. I'm sure I'll be talking with you later. And again, thank you so much, Colleen, for joining us on BBS.
Thank you.
Radio.
Thank you so much.
Thank you. And Mr. Zepp, may I go ahead and take a few minute pause here, and we'll bring on our next guest.
When I look into the future,
Welcome back to BBS Radio. My next guest is an amazing young man who I had the pleasure of meeting just a few weeks ago. He's a clairvoyant, a healer, and a spiritual teacher. He has a unique way of reading people through your chakras, going in to see what your life purpose is. So may I please welcome Crystal Bowers. Good evening, Crystal. How are you?
Good, Peggy, good. Thank you for that lovely introduction.
I truly mean that. It was such a delight meeting you in person and having the pleasure to do a reading on you as you did the favor back and giving me one. I appreciate that. It's interesting because I work with people in reading their chakras, being also a Reiki master and teacher, knowing the importance of the chakras and the housing center of your life. But what's so interesting is that you are able to go in and read and see a person's life purpose. So can I have you kind of take that and run with it and explain to our viewers exactly what you do?
Sure. Well, I'm going to start with the a little bit of how I came to do what I do, and that is primarily through the practice of meditation. Now, as I've been in practice over the last 5 years, what I've seen is more information contained in the auric field. And about 2 years ago, I started noticing that there was a chakra that I've never seen in books before. And this chakra, I've come to refer to it as the higher heart center, and literally it's located above the heart chakra and just a little bit lower than the throat chakra. And when I access this center psychically or clairvoyantly, I actually see an image of this person's higher spiritual purpose.
Oh, that is so amazing. You know, throughout the years of doing what I do, one of the questions I hear over and over again is, why am I here? What is my purpose? And we can give them, or you can, those answers. How wonderful. People are searching. They know that there's something more there, and trying to tap into it, finding those who can give them that guidance. We have wonderful clairvoyants and mediums, psychics. There's so many different terms, but each of us have different gifts, and we can help assist people, and especially those who are drawn to us. I love what I do, and I can see that you'd also... Can you give us some examples of maybe some clients? Of course, we won't want to use any names. When you are able to go into that chakra, what you see, and through color or imagery, how you can decipher that for that individual and, put them on their path.
Sure. And, I actually lecture on the topic of spirituality, chakras, energy, auras. And so I actually have a number of examples from recent work. And this was at a lecture in Lansing. We're in Michigan. And so I was in Lansing lecturing at Fellowship for Today, in fact. And I was doing the demonstration portion of my work, where not only do I lecture, but I will also engage the people there who volunteer at various levels and share with them what I'm seeing. One of the more interesting higher heart center images that I've encountered lately was a woman who volunteered to be read. So when she stood, I looked at her higher heart center. The image that I saw there was of the one who builds a temple for others to come in and worship. Now, what's interesting is that I, of course, see an image of her building a temple, and then clairaudiently I will access it to flesh out this image that I'm seeing. And again, the collective image, the sound of it, or the title, if you will, was the one who builds a temple of worship for others, And interestingly enough, I asked her what she did. And she said, well, I actually organize light fairs, and I organize workshops for people to come in contact with their own spirituality or their own higher self.
How amazing.
And, you know, she at that point, I mean, she was feeling before that she was on her path, but when I was able to pull that image from her eye or her center and share it with her, she realized that this was her life's purpose.
Well, and, you know, sometimes we don't realize, we have these questions dancing in our head, but we already have the answers. Sometimes we just can't look at them, or we just need that validation from possibly a stranger or another individual that we truly respect. But it's nice getting that validation. I know when I've done readings on people, and they'll go to another reader, and the same thing was said. You know, again, here's that cross-reference, that validation. And then the people will, you know, truly listen and grab what was said to them and going, wow, two people can't really be wrong. And I think
sure.
You do that for that individual that, you know, you are on your life path. And I think we sometimes struggle to appreciate, and that we might have just one very simple purpose, but how important that is. And it's, you know, no more or no less than great.
Go ahead.
No, dear, go ahead.
I was just going to say that what I find is that, you know, these energies are acting regardless through a person's unconscious. And so the person is actually making choices around them. They may not be able to identify them exactly in the same way that I can identify them, but they're there as a part of the patterns or the choices that the person makes. And, you know, to give you an example, like the woman who had in her the image of the one who builds a temple for others in which to worship, she had been putting together light fairs and organizing groups for a long time. I often find this to be exactly the case. And to give you a second example, at the same lecture, another woman volunteered, and when I accessed her higher heart center, I saw an image of her pointing the way for others. This woman was approximately 50 to 60 and of in Indian background, actually. And I did not talk with her before during the program, but when she volunteered, I looked at her, and again, this was the image in her heart chakra. And again, it was the one who points others in the direction that they should go in. Now, I asked her if she connected with the image, and she said, no, it didn't really resonate with her. Well, I proceeded to ask her what she did for a living. And she said, well, I'm just a stay-at-home mother. And I said, well, can you explain, you know, what have you done with your life prior to that? And she said, well, actually, I have a degree in psychology and a degree in counseling, which is exactly the person who points the others or points others in the direction that they should go in.
Yes,
so she was already, making choices to actuate this energy. She was living in it, and therefore making decisions around it. She did not identify it in the same way that I did, and yet it's there as an unconscious force.
Yes. Now, when you know, I have the ability, and I believe you do too, when you look at a person, you know, we are being able to tune into their auric field, and the color of that person's auric field says a lot about that individual and how far out it expands or how close it goes to the physical body. Do you use that, you know, as part of your readings and tuning into an individual?
You know, for the most part, since I'm clairvoyant, what I've done is I actually look for the structures of the aura itself. So it's almost like looking at a physical object, which has a three-dimensional form. So mm-hmm. I don't really see color in the terms that we normally talk about color. What I'm looking for specifically are like the state or the condition of the chakra, which tells me a great deal. I'm looking at the core level conflict of the person. I'm looking at their belief systems. I'm also looking through different portions of their auric field that tells me information about their current mental, emotional, and physical state. Interestingly enough, none of this is in color in the way that we normally understand it. In fact, I see the auric field as being, at least at the level that I'm looking at it, and at the level that I'm looking at it, as being either white, and I believe that this is the etheric body, or it's golden or golden color, and this I believe is a higher aspect of the mental body.
Very true. When I look into a person when I'm doing a session, looking at the shape, of the chakra itself, is it a perfect circle or is it stretched out a form? Is the color what it should be? Is it jagged? Because, I mean, your chakras hold your stories. It's your life. And it's so amazing how out of whack that they can be. And they wonder why their life is kind of off balance. I call them your pistons. And it's like a car with your pistons aren't all hitting on one another. You're not getting the best performance. And it's the same thing with the chakras. If they're not the proper size and spinning in the colors that they need to be, that balance, you're misfiring and you're definitely not going to be the best of your best no matter how hard you try here. So we have to fix that. And your auric field, when I see the colors, it can just tell me so much what's going on in your life and the effect of your significant other. Especially with women, I'll look at their auric field and I go, okay, your husband apparently sleeps on, this side of you. And they'll stop and pause for a moment and go, yeah, actually he does. And I'll go, have you ever thought of just putting protection between the two of you? Because it's, we talk about these energy vampires, you have to remember you're joining energies here. And we can have those that, just kind of suck the life right out of us. So, you are combining two energies and they're very negative. I mean, it's going to have an effect on you. And that can cause an off balance. So it's so funny. And the look that I get from some of the women when I go, this is your family can be sometimes your worst enemy or your significant other. You need to pay attention to the effect that they have on you. And it's probably the hardest for any individual is to really look at their situation and the effect that certain family members have. And as I call it, putting their head in the sand or turning a blind eye, you can't have a really wonderful, balanced, fulfilled life if you don't direct into these issues that are having a very negative effect on you. And it's hard. But I think having a stranger as myself talking with these individuals, and I'm sure with you, at least makes them stop and think for a moment and go, wow, maybe I really do need to look at this. I didn't realize he or she was having that effect on me. And so if we can just bring it to the forefront, we have made a difference for them, but we have to respect their free will. We can only point things out, but they have to take that information and run with it.
And that's true. I mean, I see a lot of people who have these belief systems, through their experiential relationships with significant others, family, and I mean, they're basically at some level in a state of denial. Part of encountering somebody like you or somebody like myself is being able to walk into that person's field and bring to their attention their belief systems or their energetic relationships that are dysfunctional with other people so that they have a chance to work on them and heal. I've had people who I walk into their field and I see their relationship with their significant other, their mother, their father, and I will tell them that this is a major part of their destruction. And they'll look at me quite seriously and say, well, actually, this relationship is perfect. And, you know, we'll dialogue around it for a while, and I'm like, well, that's not quite what I'm seeing. This is exactly what I see and contemplate it. And, you know, I'll usually receive a phone call 1 week, 2 weeks later saying, you know what, after I looked at it, it is true that I do feel that way, that I do harbor this sort of feeling about the relationship, and, you know, what you've brought to my attention has helped me see that clearly.
Very good. And it's hard, I think, for anyone to, you know, put their life out there and, you know, our little secrets, and we just don't want to seem vulnerable. But you're being happy, what it does, you know, for our whole auric field, that balance, even the aging factor. I've done clients that are in their 20s and 30s, and they look so old. They look so miserable and unhappy. And then I've had clients who are 70s, and they look amazing. So being happy just is our own fountain of youth, if you will, that we do have within ourselves. What makes us miserable.
Well, I agree with you. You know, the truth is, I think if there's one element that's missing from contemporary society, it is joy. You know, everybody is so forward-moving and compelled to move, literally, for survival purposes, at least at a psychological, emotional level, that the joy of life is actually squeezed out of it. Now, I see people in very varying degrees of suffering, because, of course, when somebody approaches me, they're looking for healing at one level or another. And so to be able to engage them and help release them from their disruptions, their emotional or psychological difficulties, this does bring joy back to their life.
Yes, and I would love for you to share also with our listeners, I was reading about where you address the law of attraction. I mean, of course, this is a great book, too, but how true our personal attraction patterns, you know, I'll kind of let you run with that and elaborate, but how we draw certain people to us.
Oh, sure. You know, what's really interesting is that, you know, just look at the law of attraction itself. I mean, each individual should be able to manifest a perfect life without any problem whatsoever. But I encounter people all the time who are manifesting what they would refer to as an imperfect or a painful life. And, you know, after having practiced for 5-6 years at this point as a clairvoyant and keeping very detailed records, what I've been able to discern is that people are creating perfectly. They are creating according to the patterns and the belief systems, the archetypal energies, as well as the core-level issues with which they incarnated. So they are literally creating perfectly according to who they are energetically. Now, that might not be any fun consciously, but they are still creating according to the seed patterns that exist in their field. You know, part of what I'm helping them recognize is the energies that are, you know, the reasons underlying the disruption of energies, so that way they can release those blockages and to manifest the life that they want to create.
Yes. Well, I remember one of my clients years ago kept coming back to me, and it was always the same issue. It was like, I keep attracting the wrong type of men. You know, I keep putting out there who and what I want, but I keep getting these toads. And I go, well, you know, we really need to come back to the core of this. We need to start fixing you first. Then you'll attract a different type of man or a different caliber, you know, one that's conscious of your needs. But, you know, don't ask for a prince if you yourself are a toad. You know, so we have to look at ourselves and what we are projecting outward. And I think it's hard for a lot of women to do that. One of the things, they'll go through their list of, this is what, you know, I want him to be and to do. And I go through there, I go, well, I don't see the word love. You're more interested in money. And where is, in here, you need to put in the factor, being conscious of your needs and your desires. And I swear they get that deer in the headlight look. It's like they really don't get that. It's like, you know, I want this, I want that, I want, you know. And, wow, it's like a programming. But I guess that's not all bad, but we have to look at our own program, too. Are we compatible? Are we going to match up with someone on the other end? And it's sure. It's difficult for men and women and our society, and it's, as we get older, I think, you know, finding someone that doesn't carry a lot of baggage and or scars, it's, you know, finding someone that's perfect, I think it's impossible. I think finding someone that you harmonize and you blend very easily together and effortlessly, that it's not a struggle to be together. And if you start out having to, you know, fight to make it work, it's like, wow, maybe you should just step back and get out of the ring now and run.
Right. Well, I do think that it's difficult to find perfection when we carry imperfection in our field. And yes. as long as that energy is there and creating, we are really at the mercy of it, rather than able to create the life that we desire. So it really is about becoming self-aware.
Exactly. And I think that being aware of who and what we are and being happy with ourselves first and not making it somebody else's responsibility to fix us or to make us happy, it's coming back to our own core, loving ourselves, being in a balance, and that you're the best of your best. And then you are able to offer that to a wonderful man or woman that hopefully will be attracted to you. But it's loving oneself, that self-love is probably one of the biggest issues I've dealt with throughout the years with my clients. It's almost so difficult for them to think they even deserve to have love. But hopefully we can raise them to a higher consciousness and have them move on their path more smoothly. And it's, you know, people like you, Crystal, that you'll help guide and direct those who are looking for some type of direction and can be given it in a very loving manner. And I can see, you know, that you are, you know, a very warm and loving individual, and people are seeking that, and I don't think there's any bias there or that force type energy. And I think it's like going to school. You'll like a teacher that works with you versus one that leans over you or cracking, you know, the ruler on the desk and demanding something out of you.
So sure.
That presentation means a lot.
Well, presentation does mean a lot. And just being able to engage people for who they are. And, you know, recognizing their strengths and what would normally be termed a person's weaknesses is really just to be able to acknowledge where they are and how best they can be moved forward to a better state or a higher state of self-expression.
Yes, absolutely. Now, I know our time is coming close to an end, but I do not want to let you go before we can have you give a website or some avenues that people who are listening, Crystal, can get a hold of you if they want you for a personal reading or possibly having you come in doing a seminar or workshop. So how can people reach out and contact you?
You know, the best way to reach me is actually, and to find out simultaneously more about me, you can visit my personal website, which is www.thelightonthepath.com. And that is theliglighthonthepath.com. Or if you're interested in speaking to me, do people normally give their phone numbers out?
Yes, it's if you're comfortable with that, absolutely.
Sure. It's my phone number is 734-945-8828. And again, the number is 734-945-8828. You know, my website does detail much of the information that much of the work that I'm able to do or that I have done. Unfortunately, I'm my web designer, and I'm also the person who updates. Now, I have not had a chance to update for all of my recent work, and so, you know, some of the things that we've talked about are not exactly on my website. So if a person has a question, then they can feel free to call me for further explanation.
Wonderful. And I truly encourage those who are listening. Again, I've had the pleasure of meeting Crystal, and I have to share this, Crystal, because I'm doing the reading on you and seeing the most magnificent crystal behind you. I'm not sure that had anything to do with your name, but it's just absolutely magnificent. I have to probably say that's the largest crystal I've ever seen with one individual. And it's a gorgeous crystal quartz. The power that it radiates, I know it just assists you each and every day, and how fortunate you are to have that with you.
Well, I think, you know, what's really interesting, Peggy, is that, you know, in my deepest meditations, I have seen images of the quartz that you're talking about, which is larger than a traditional human being. It's of immense size, and I think that that's how you would seen it as well. Is that true?
Yes, it is. Much bigger than you.
Yeah. So you are actually the only person who has ever mentioned that to me. And I, like I said, I do see that in my meditation. So it's interesting that you picked that up in my field when you engaged me.
Well, I'm so glad that I was the first and only so far who's done that. And I'm sure our paths will be crossing again, Crystal, and it's been such a pleasure having you on BBS Radio tonight, and I look forward to talking with you soon, and I hope your emails and phone will be very busy for people contacting you. You have a very beautiful gift, and I know you use it with the full intention of helping others, and I feel very, very fortunate and blessed in being able to meet you. And again, I see our paths crossing again, and I look forward to maybe someday we can even work together.
Yeah, you know, I want to thank you, you know, for inviting me onto this radio program and also for taking the time to, you know, introduce yourself and to speak with me. I very much enjoyed meeting you, and I do look forward as well to working together in the future.
Well, thank you so much. Well, Crystal, I will say good night for right now, and I'll be closing off. I think my time is just about out. And again, thank you so much for being with us this evening.
Well, thank you again, Peggy. Have a blessed day.
You too.
All right. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. And just before I close for this evening, I would just like to make a mention. We lost a beautiful lady today, Mrs. Esther Newfer, who was one of the most magnificent ladies, clairvoyant, medium, psychic, all wrapped up in one. And she helped so many people, hundreds, thousands of people throughout her life's journey. And I hope that those who know her we'll definitely take time and send a prayer to her in her transition, and also for her family and all of us who are going to miss her terribly. But I have to believe she'll be working with all of us from the other side, and we're going to miss you, Esther. So with that, with our prayers, good night.